This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You'll be safe here,
says a whisper behind you.
Good morning, Night Vale.
Everyone, it is me, Symphony Sanders.
And me, Hal Lublin.
And me, Meg Bashwinner. And we are recording from Symphony Sanders' apartment in Chicago.
Yeah!
All three of us are together in one room.
For
and
once.
It's so exciting for us to unite our coasts. Because normally I live in New York, Symphony lives in Chicago, Hal lives in Los Angeles. And so we record not all together. And right now, all three of us are holding hands.
Yeah. This
and
is great.
In one room together.
This feels good.
I'm so excited for this because I knew, like, the energy is always different when we're all in the room together.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're not giving it our all when we're all remote, but this is like, we're all here
seeing each other
live. We don't have to switch screens. It's very exciting.
Yeah, there's no technology getting in our way. We didn't start this recording by fighting with Google Hangouts and our audio recording programs for 10 minutes before starting, which is really exciting. But yeah, we have united in Chicago. We're on the Night Vale tour right now. And we got together to record an episode of Good Morning Night Vale, which is, of course, that podcast that you're listening to right now, where we go back and listen to old episodes of Welcome to Night Vale and talk about our feelings and our appetites.
This has become sort of a backdoor food vlog.
Yeah. I always wanted to do a food podcast, and I feel like it's all been done before, but you know, if a food podcast hasn't been done before, one that's about Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah. Surprise. We're innovators. And this week, we're going to be talking about food over the episode Poetry Week. Here is the summary. It is Poetry Week in Night Vale, and folks get a look at a place that should never be seen. Plus, strange new billboards about town and renovations completed at the Night Vale Zoo. Now, can I start with a rumor I heard that you will probably be able to confirm? Because I felt like I'm rooming with Cecil on this tour. We were talking this morning. He was getting ready to go out for the day as I was listening to him. And he was like, you know, I think that they got a bunch of poetry submissions that they put in the show. Is that true that these poems are all from different writers?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, they're from all from different people. I think if you pass me that, somebody's passed me the script book so I can reference who our contributors are. But this was solicited from the internet. Jeffrey got Russell Swenson, Vanessa Arena, Trility Wade, Catherine Ciel, Erica Paschold, and Daniel Dubois, or Dubois, either or. They submitted poems to Jeffrey, and Jeffrey wove them into an episode.
Yeah, that was one of the things that struck me was how different all the voices were for the different poems and how nice that was to hear. And also it gave like Cecil digging into the more abstract stuff is always fun. So those two things combined made this episode really stand out.
And I'm going to tell you what, I didn't read that part. I hadn't read the intro to this episode. And so I didn't realize that they were all submissions. And when I remember that Trility Wade name stuck out to me when we were listening to it the other day. And I was like, oh, what a crazy name that they made up. And I'm like, no, it's somebody's name.
Somebody's name.
That's amazing.
It's super cool. This episode is great for lots of reasons. One, because it's doing this new thing where it's experimenting, further experimentation with collaborating with internet collaborators. It was like there was Pyramid, the episode where they used Regis Locker's tweets to weave a story. And now this one is crowdsourced poetry that was woven together for an episode. And then also this episode has like a huge plot thing that drops at the end.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
This changes everything. And I remember when we were like, when this was going on, that everybody was so upset, like when all these people disappeared to the other world. But we didn't know that this was an other world at this point and that we could still connect with like Dana and things like that. So I'm just thinking back to how stressful this was at the end of this episode was for people on the internet.
Yeah. It's they set up rules very early on, and then they break the rules, and then there are consequences to it.
Very real consequences.
That continue to sort of reverberate mm-hmm. or reverberated for a very long time. But also that sense of government conspiracy, one way to prevent people from going in, and then at the end of this, you're led to believe that they know that it's something that will kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, yeah, come check it out.
Right.
It's interesting to read the text of it, of like, the sure, come on in to the dog park. But when you hear Cecil's reading of it, then
it's
you get
really
the entire
ominous.
Like the yeah. challenge from the sheriff's or the council.
Yeah. And the hooded figures. So starting at the beginning of the episode, I know I just jumped straight to the end.
Yeah, well, that's we can jump to the end because we're like, this is a huge episode for this reason, where it's like right. a huge, you know, big thunderbolt of plot happens.
Yeah.
But just going back to the beginning, like when Cecil is talking about how this poetry week happens every year and people have to write hundreds of nonstop poems. And last year they received 800,000 poems. So I'm wondering, does this help us figure out how many people are in Night Vale? Possibly.
Well, it's nonstop. How many lines? A poem really only needs, aren't there like single or double line poems?
Of course, there's haikus, which is only like, you know, 575.
Sure.
That's three lines. So, but like, some people write more like allegorical or epic poems, you know?
Like the Iliad or the Odyssey.
That's right. You don't know?
I thought you were saying some people write like Al Gore, where it's just they write, we should do something about the environment. And that's it. That's
I wish
whole poem.
More people would be writing like Al Gore, Hal.
Yeah. I do too.
And also the fact that the poems feed the librarians. I like that. Because, I mean, otherwise they eat people, no?
Sure. Well, they at least murder people. They're very dangerous. You have to assume they probably do a little eating in there.
Of course. Yeah, because I remember the bones like are what helped like make the shelves for all the books and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do they do with the rest of it? They got to eat it, right?
Sure. You have to use every part of the person.
It's the buffalo. You have to
use the whole buffalo, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
And us recording this episode on Indigenous Peoples Day too.
Ugh.
We should take the lesson of the Indigenous people to, like, the librarian should use the whole animal.
Yeah.
That if that is the lesson that we learn from today, then I think it's a good one.
Yes.
I save my chicken carcasses after I roast chicken. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They're in my freezer.
I make stock.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I have some chicken bones in my freezer right now. I'm going to go get them. Just kidding. but yeah, I mean, I think it's like a very old thing, you know, a traditional thing to be like, oh, I'm just going to save the bones and then I'm going to make a stock out of it. It's like, when are you going to do that?
Yeah, I have a freezer in my basement that is just mostly
bones,
frozen chicken carcasses.
That's kind of cool. Why have I never seen that when I came over?
My frozen chicken carcass, that's kind of, it's only a few. It's just like, it's like probably five or six. It was like,
By a few, she means 2,000.
Yeah. Do you have that bumper sticker that says, ask me about my chicken carcasses?
Yeah. Well, after like 6 months, you got to throw them away.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Whenever I get a chicken from the store, like I get the ones that are already made and I save the bones
the
in a bag.
Ones.
Yeah, I get the rotisserie ones. Love them so much. And then I put the remains, whatever's left over, in a bag in the freezer. And then it sits there until I throw it away.
And then in 6 months, you throw it away.
Yeah.
Like a normal person, Hal.
Yeah.
can we talk about that person that was like that turned into snow?
Oh, from the palm?
Yeah.
Oh, that was beautiful.
And the fact that they were like, Cecil was like, oh, yes. And it landed all over us and it smelled just like snow smells, like fennel and meat. And I'm like, what?
I guess that's how it's when it snows in the desert, it smells like fennel and meat.
Yeah. And that was Trility Wade. That was the poet laureate who turned into snow.
Oh, yeah, because I wrote Trility Wade! ! And then snow smells like fennel and meat. I think that would smell kind of good. Is it like cooked meat or raw meat? Or what do you think?
Fennel and meat, I think sausage. Like,
Yeah, you're right.
Sausage snow.
Yeah, that is a sausagey combination.
But yeah, that this is our first poem in the episode, right? I fell in love with the hooded figure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that they weren't being forced. I I was like, they're not being forced to write this, or they are being forced to write this. I feel like that's a decision that you have to like make.
Well, you're mandated to write the poem. I don't think the subject is mandated.
Oh, I see.
So this was something they're like, first of all, the theme of the government controlling the means of information comes back at the very beginning, because this is the one time of the year you're allowed writing utensils, yep, and thesauruses.
Definitely.
And ways to actually effectively communicate and relay information. But you can only do it in the form of poetry.
Right.
It's just such a master. It continues to feed into that the larger conspiracy theory of Night Vale and its government.
Yeah, a lot of these seem to be maybe a cry for help, a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like the one, the Irina Pancheks one, the street cleaning day, the one like, run, run. And then at the end, they're like, they're talking about the kids and like trying to save the kids. And they're like, I only saved one person. I saved myself. I'm like, whoa.
Yes.
But I mean, I guess you gotta look out for number one.
Yeah, you gotta put the oxygen mask on yourself first.
That's right, before you can help anyone.
And over your mouth and nose. People sometimes forget that it's gotta go over both parts.
If you do just the nose, so you look like a gonzo.
Yeah. Bah, bah.
Yeah. This was a bad choice. This doesn't work.
That's what they, that actually makes me think of when I got my wisdom teeth out. They just put it over your nose and like put the gas in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I told the person, I was like, I have a really high tolerance. And they're like, okay. And they're like, start counting back. And I'm like, anyways, 10, nah. And but he had looked across at the dental person, the person, and just like did a thumbs up, like turn it up. And I was like, yes, good night.
When I had mine out, I didn't know when to start counting. I just knew you were supposed to.
Yeah.
So I was like, when do I start counting? Do I start? And I'm done. And then I woke up later. After I started crying, by the way, I started crying.
You're one of those.
The second they put the heart monitor on me, because I was so afraid. I hate dentists. I hate them so much.
Really?
I don't hate them personally. I'm afraid of them.
Sure.
That's the actual thing to say. I feel like hate is like, I hate that. No, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
So I was so scared when that happened, I started crying. But once the IV was in and everything, and like my heart monitor, my heart rate jumped. Oh. But once I was under, it was like the best. Yeah. One of the best surgical experiences. As somebody who's had a lot of surgery in the or like procedures in the last few years, that was one of the best ones because I remember nothing.
Yeah. When they put you out, it's great. We were talking about this the other day because I was talking about how when I get a teeth cleaning, my dentist offers me gas. And I'm like, dude, I like drove here. It's just a cleaning. It's fine. But like, she's like, you want a little gas? I'm like, is this just something we offer here? Like, I didn't come here to get high. I came here to get my teeth cleaned. I can get high on my own time, not in a strapped to a chair.
She just calls you. Hey, it's your dentist. Do you want a little gas? I'm going to come over. I'm in the neighborhood. I just drive around with a tank.
She also does Botox and filler too, which I haven't gotten from her yet. Or
what
maybe.
Kind of dentist is this?
But she seems to be like, I don't know. Seems
does
to be
a
like,
little, does a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Dabbling.
Yeah. I do. I am a dentist, but I also do Reiki and just nail filing. That's the only part of it I do. So I will file them to a sharp edge.
And recreational laughing gas use.
And recreational laughing gas. Like, hey, I have to go to the playground after this. Can I give you some gas so that it goes quicker?
Well, another thing that I found really interesting was the Night Vale Zoo stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was really great for me. The fact that, I'm like, there were no cages before. Like, what was, so it was just like, a place where all the animals were? How did they not get out?
I think they called it a zoo. I think I imagine it as an enclosure around the entire area.
Right, right, right.
But not individual enclosures.
So there's just like willy-nilly animals like running around.
Yeah, and I think it's one of two things.
It's got to be just predators.
I know, yeah, for sure, and they're all birds. Predators. The non-predators are gone. Their bones are bookshelves for animals right now. But it feeds into there. I have one or two theories about this. One is my continued theory that the leadership of Night Vale is incompetent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, what is a zoo? We've just put all the animals in there. And they realize, like, has anybody seen a giraffe in a while? They seem to be gone. But the other is that those animals were already there. And so they, as another way to control people, they put a fence around them and said, this is the zoo. And they send specific people there.
Oh, okay.
Some people I think are maybe would be restricted from going there because they're higher value. I have no idea who would be higher value. But That's the other. I'm going with the incompetence, but the other one is just an interesting sort of side theory.
The incompetence is like a given, I think. That's a, I feel like I've been like this whole time, like, who's good at their job? No one. No one is good at their job.
Yeah, no one.
In this whole thing. And the zoo, it's like, it's again, turning something that's like kind of innocuous or normal in our world into something that's terrifyingly dangerous. Like, you're like, you can't even be protected in a dang zoo. But it does, it is kind of sad though, actual zoos, if you think about it.
Yeah, they're not free, but they are safe. So,
they're, yes, they are safe.
From, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, most zoos are okay. I mean, I think the ones that are bad, I think people like SeaWorld.
SeaWorld, yeah. SeaWorld is a big old bummer.
But that's not exactly a zoo, right? They don't call it a zoo. What do they call it?
It's like an aquatic experience.
Yeah.
Huh. Which is just like an amusement park.
Yeah. Zoo, the real, I think, threat at a zoo are the dumb people who will try and climb in with the animals.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anytime that happens, I'm always like, yo, what did you think it was going to happen? It's a wild animal. You can't just like climb in.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for like kids who get eaten or yanked around or something, but like.
Like Harambe. Remember Harambe?
Yeah.
That made
and they
me
killed
really,
Harambe and then it turned out that Harambe was God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why everything bad happened after his death.
Yes.
Yeah. If we had knew that Harambe was God, we probably wouldn't have shot him.
Also pretty incredible that people were able to get God into a zoo, into captivity. Though that part is impressive. So silver lining, dark lining, you know, 50-50, glass half full, glass half empty.
Speaking of percentages, let's talk about that billboard.
Yes.
That billboard that's like 20% off everything. We're crazy. That whole thing. So everything? Like which 20%?
Yeah, everything's really unclear. And they just spontaneously appeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think is behind it? Throw out a theory.
Theory for who's behind 20% off everything.
Harambe?
I don't think it's Harambe. It feels like it would be like Louis Blasco. Hmm. You know, if it had to be a person in the Night Vale world, it would be like a Louis Blasco type thing where it's like, we're crazy, 20% off everything. You know, like Louis Blasco is the kind of person who would murder just part of you.
Wait. The 20% off everything, like, is that the people that went into the dog park?
Oh.
Oh, that's true. In that case, that might be a better indicator.
That literally just occurred to me.
There you go.
And my mind is like a tiny swirl of
oh wow,
craziness.
We're right cooking now. Something now. Because I think it's a very low population town. I don't think there are a lot of people there.
Yeah. So, and from what it sounded like to me, like especially towards the end, is that quite a few people went into the dog park. It wasn't just like five or six people. It was like hundreds of people.
Maybe
right?
20% even.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Right? Mind blown.
Yeah.
I also like that the end of that bit, police officials remind us that scientists are comedians and they should stick to comedy. Yep.
I feel like that's everybody's saying that about like celebrities and stuff like that right now about having positions on anything. They're like, you should just stick to being a celebrity or being an actor or being a comedian. It's like, well, I'm a human person who has feelings and is affected by things, so I could say whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's also what you're using your platform to tell me not to use my platform. Why about nobody says anything ever about anything?
Right.
And then we're fine. It's one thing to speak, to go like, I understand exactly what's happening everywhere. Let me tell you. And then expressing an opinion. Those are two different things. Express your opinion. People.
Express yourself.
Express yourself.
As Madonna told us.
By the way, I just noticed you had a dress form over there.
Did it scare
you? I'm scanning the room. No, I saw it. I was like, oh, cool, a dress form. they still frighten me, although it's missing 20% of itself.
Yeah, arms, legs, and head.
Yeah.
I call her Melody. Because she's not me.
Oh,
because you're Symphony.
Right.
Symphony Melody. I just want to, for the people who, most of you, none of you will ever be in Symphony's apartment. No. Lord, I hope. I just want to pay some other things I see.
Yeah.
Just objects I see.
About, these are just like, this is what I have in my home because it's a storage area for everything that I have.
I see a unicycle.
Yeah.
And
that I ride around and I've knocked that thing off the wall while unicycling in my home and broke the glass to it. So now it has a plastic cover instead of
I see a picture of you doing a handstand in front of, is that Versailles?
I don't know. That's Buckingham Palace.
Oh, Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, it's the statue in front of it.
And then I see a Bosu.
Yeah.
I see a boomerang and a china set and an owl that someone made of purloined from a Hampton Inn.
I did. That was the one in Pittsburgh, I think.
Well, let's not be specific about the location from which
Pittsburgh, Kansas.
From which this Pittsburgh, where the owl statue was compassionately relocated from the Hampton Inn lobby to Symphony Sanders' home.
It followed her. Owls have free will.
Look, it wanted to be with me more than it wanted to be with them.
You set it free. You set it free.
I have quite a bit of Night Vale stuff, though, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see Hiram McDaniels.
Yeah.
I see a Kashyyyk head. And I see, and the glow cloud, right?
Yeah, the glow cloud is up there. There's another one in the living room with all of my other photos of myself.
Sure.
Because I like pictures of myself.
Well, you photograph well.
Thank you.
I also noticed the top left bookshelf and the one below it,
yeah,
that you have what's appeared. There are several times where you have two copies of a book. Now, some of them are Night Vale books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Right, because I get a hard copy and a hardcover and a soft.
But are the two James Patterson books, are they the same one?
I don't think so.
One of them is sixth, or because the other ones all look different. I really wanted to be the same, but I know it's... Oh, nope, completely different.
They're different.
It's the 4th of July and the 6th Target.
Oh, yeah, because he was doing this series where it was like 1, 2, 3. I love book series. This is what people may not know about me. I love a book series. I will read a one-off book where it's just about like one thing.
Right.
But generally, I like... a lot of books about like one, about characters, or I love fantasy stuff. I like horror books, but then I also like mystery and cop dramas.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and then I put it on a low shelf, the Twilight series that I got from someone, and I don't like to show it off.
But you love it.
But it's, no, I do not.
You do not love it.
I don't feel bad about throwing a book away.
Right.
So I haven't compassionately relocated it yet.
I see.
Toot toot, beep beep.
That horn means it's time to get back to the episode of Night Vale.
And let's have a look at the traffic while we're at it. This poem from Night Vale resident Catherine Ciel.
Yes.
Catherine's writing about what's happening on the roads. And this is just to... really, really gorgeous poem.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
There's such great lines in it. They go to the Moonlight All Night Diner where they're serving up fruit from the plants growing out of the waitress.
Okay, that was crazy in my head, the visual for me. I was imagining, have you ever seen, I don't know who the artist is, but it's in the Louvre, and it's the different seasons, but they're made up of the fruits and vegetables, of like that, like, so spring would have like certain fruits and vegetables, and like summer was like, you know, strawberries for a nose and like stuff like that. I don't know who that artist is.
I'm not familiar with that. It sounds beautiful though.
It is beautiful. And there's like four different ones that are all together, and it's truly lovely. Right. So it made me think of that. And I'm like, okay, so you're picking, are you picking it off of the person? And I'm just imagining, does it replenish or do they become bare, and what's underneath that? Is it like tree bones?
I think it regrows. I think it's instantaneous.
Oh, wow.
Because then, like, otherwise you can only have like one orange juice.
I guess so. Yes.
It's Giuseppe Crimboldo.
Yes, that's it.
He's a Renaissance painter who made the people of that are made out of fruit and vegetables.
What did you Google search to get that?
Did I Google? I think I Googled fruit faces, fruit faces seasons.
I probably would have done the same thing.
What would your tree grow if you grew something?
Ooh, me?
Yeah. Just you. I don't want to have all the answer.
Yeah. I'm not interested.
Because I like these things, I would be like mangoes and berries, something like really bright and delicious and sweet. What about you guys?
There's the things that I love. Like, I really love grapes. Mm-hmm. I really love apples. But I also, my favorite vegetable is the onion, which would be like kind of weird to grow. But I love onions, so I'd want to be
that
an onion.
That would be weird to grow. I think that'd be lovely.
It's not like beautiful like grapes. It's like I just feel like onions are the best flavor.
Onions actually are beautiful. Like the the green stuff that comes out of the top of them if you let them grow. And like, you know, it's got all the little roots at the bottom. And like there's different shapes of like – and different colors. Yellow, white, the purplish red ones.
The red onions. They're called red onions, but they're totally purple.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird. Purple got robbed there in the naming game.
That's true. What about you, Hallie Hal?
I would. It would look like I was growing a second head, but it would turn into a perfect seedless watermelon.
Oh.
I just love it so much. I also love apples. I love mango. Grapes, also a big fan. Bananas, oranges, but watermelon is the best.
Yeah.
That's cold. One of the best parts of living in California is you get watermelon all the time.
It's got to be cold. No one likes a warm watermelon.
No warm watermelon. Do you put salt in your watermelon?
Sometimes. And not when I eat it. Sometimes I'll like juice it and then make like a drink with like lime and honey and salt and watermelon. And then sometimes I'll mix a little alcohol in that.
Yeah. I like to call that fruit booze. And it's with a U with the umlaut.
Sure. Of course. Fruit booze.
Fruit booze. I actually use on watermelon, and when it's cold, I didn't used to like watermelon at all.
Really?
Because a lot of the times when you get watermelon in like a fruit bowl, it's like not good. It's like mealy or like it's been in the water with the other fruits and it's gross.
It's tainted.
But like by itself, it's delicious. I do here in Chicago, especially down by the beach, they'll do at the little carts, they have people who do like cut up the watermelon and mango and stuff, and they'll put like tajin, which is like chili lime seasoning on it. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Jennifer will put salt on it, which I've tried. I don't like it. Tajin I like also. It's okay.
Because it gives like a zing to it, but you just like it pure.
I think if it's really good, I like it on its own. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to put a little something on it because you get like the pieces that aren't as sweet or you get it a little bit out of season.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Like the thing you were saying though about packaged fruit salad, I would like us to stop with the packaging of the fruit salad.
Yeah. Why do that?
Because every fruit is going to be fresh and decaying at a different rate.
Yeah.
So you've got your, you know, your green honeydew, which is never good in a fruit salad and only good like for the 2 weeks a year that it's ripe. But it's the filler. bulk of your damn fruit salad. And that's never going to go bad. And then you've got your strawberries and berries, which have already gone bad.
Yes. Right.
The second they're
mushed. Absolute mush.
And then the watermelon gets damaged because it's up against all this other hard fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's usually squashed down in there.
There's nothing good that's in that fruit salad. No. There's no winner coming out of that. You're like, oh, well, at least the whatever is good. But no, they all kill each other. They make it worse. Let's just separate the fruit and then you can make your own fruit salad.
That's right. Talking about separating people, let's talk about how the dog park is going to be separating people. And is this all because of the renegade poet E, who we learned to be the angel Erica?
Erica, yes. With a K.
But all angels are named.
Was that who I played on the stage show? Me and Annie?
Yeah.
I think both played Erica.
You were both Erica.
Which was that?
That was the crossover? That was the debate.
Oh, I was not there.
Because then Annie played.
She was Diane Creighton.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that was the roulette show. We recorded the debate at roulette.
Yes.
And that was the first time we hung out. It was the first time we met, yeah?
It was, yes.
I remember. I was so nervous.
I wasn't born yet.
Symphony wasn't born yet.
Yeah, Symphony was still just an idea.
Yeah.
A dream, really.
A twinkle in someone's eye.
A dream beyond a dream. Yeah, the roulette's such a great room. They're so nice to podcasters out there at the roulette. They make really nice recordings for you there.
Wait, can we go back to the realtor?
Yes.
Inside a deer.
That's weird. Like, why are they inside? Like, they live in... I don't understand. That freaked me out, and I kind of like wanted to put my hands over my ears because the idea of that disgusts me. That the realtor's inside, like, do they stay in there or do they come out once you, like, cut them open?
They come out once you cut them open, I think.
Yeah, they're in there, and that's how you get it. Have either of you watched Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime? I enjoy it.
With that guy from The Office?
With John Krasinski as Jack Ryan. It's very enjoyable. But the two things that happen the most are people driving through gates and showing credentials. Like, all right, people gaining access to doorways and gates. And the other thing that happens a lot is people hiding things inside of dead people.
Oh.
And that, So this made me think of that.
I mean, I know that that's been done before, like people smuggle drugs and stuff inside corpses.
Right.
And whatnot. But like, they're alive in there?
They're alive.
I'm still like, yeah.
They're alive.
I'm like,
there.
Are they being born that way, or they just like go in there and then they get cut out?
And the deer are alive too, because you have to, if you're seeking a licensed realtor, you have to find an undersized stag or ailing doe. You catch it, wrestle it down, and with a knife, open the chest cavity, and then you let out the realtor inside to help you achieve your American dream.
Yeah. I mean, my dad's a realtor. That's how he,
yeah.
That's how clients find him.
Oh, your dad's so great.
Yeah. We're going to have to cut him out of a deer so he can come to the show in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm happy to do that. I don't mind. Yeah.
No. I also like the saying, streets swallow their own tails and choke.
Yeah. Getting that all the homes in Night Vale have a view of the void.
Yes.
And there's plenty of spiders. I thought that was lovely. Just adding that in.
Yeah.
The recurrence of spiders like throughout this whole show is vast.
Yeah. Even the first poem has veins calling up your neck like spiders.
Mm-hmm.
So much spider imagery.
Spiders.
And Jeffrey is the one who's terrified by spiders.
Yeah, yes. Jeffrey's afraid
like
of
me.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan.
And no. Everyone else thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's a very real phobia that's very frightening. And it could kill.
What are you scared of?
They will kill you.
Oh, that's yes. All they some want. Of them, not all
They're
of them.
Killers.
Cal, I've mentioned this before. We yes. all have to die some way.
Yes, but I don't want to die that way.
Dying from a spider bite doesn't sound that bad.
Because it's not instant. It's not like the spider swallows you whole.
Yeah.
The spider bites you and then you die later.
But like 2 weeks later, like after, like it's not you like
after the goodbye. Swelling.
Yeah.
No, because first your throat closes up. And then you'll be like you're trying to say goodbye to people. Yeah. You can't even tell people you got, like, what happened?
Yeah.
People don't know. There's no way to communicate it.
I understand. I also have a fear of snakes, so I do get that thing. And the other day at our hotel, there was a snake in the lobby.
Yeah. Look.
Checking in?
Yes.
That snake was a Diamond Elite member.
That's what
and it's going to yeah. write a really nasty Yelp review yes. for the Iowa City.
The Coralville, Iowa City, Hampton Inn. When we were walked into the hotel, we all were like, we just drew it. We all get out of the car. We got our bags. And we what we see is a man coming out of the lobby with a snake and like throwing it into the woods. He's got a snake on like a broom and is like just flinging it into the bushes. And like that's what we walked into. We're like, is that a snake guy? And he's like, yeah, there's a snake here. And like we walk up to the lobby clerk. Why can't I think of their name? Desk attendant. Still can't think of the right name for that person.
That sounds right.
And we were like, was there just a snake in here? She's like, yeah, there's a freaking snake in here. And then we were like... Then we started.
It was like a little gardener snake, though.
Yeah, it wasn't like a, yeah, but it's weird to just be greeted at a sterile chain hotel by a snake. You
Welcome
know?
To our hotel. Snakes. We throw snakes into the woods here. We don't let them inside the hotel for long.
Yeah.
Did the snake come back in later in a disguise? It was like Groucho glasses.
The snake went to the Radisson next door. It was like, I will not be treated like this. Yeah. I'm going to go to the hotel next door.
Poor snake.
The good thing is the snake was live streaming the whole thing.
Yeah.
You see how they're treating me? Right. You see what's happening here? Hotel Hannah is going to be trending on Twitter.
Yeah. And as soon as we were all walking in and John and Cecil and Em were all like, oh, can we go see the snake? And they all like went outside to go look at the snake. And I'm like, I don't need to see it.
No. It was okay. I saw it and it was like this big, but it was like skinny and little, like it wouldn't do anything to you, but it was still a snake that shouldn't have been inside. But you know, I bet you, cause you know, the doors are automatic. So it just like popped open and the snake was like, I'm okay.
The thing that snakes and spiders share that makes them creepy is their deliberate movement.
Yeah.
Like a snake is like a slow, like it's got that slow movement, but the spider will sit there and then you'll see like one leg go up and then it'll move. But then if it wants to move fast, it's going to go.
I just don't like the ones that jump.
Yeah. I also don't like the ones that crawl and are anywhere near me. If they want to kill insects near me, that's fine. Let's not ever see. We don't have to see each other. Different shifts.
I understand that.
Different shifts.
I feel like if there's any sort of bugs in my house at all, like they just run the risk of getting murdered. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, this is a sterile environment for me. And, like, I'm not looking for roommates.
Yeah, they don't pay rent.
Right. Unless you're a Maine Coon cat, like, we can't be friends.
Yeah.
That's going to be my next cat, I swear.
I don't kill the bugs in my house.
I know you don't. You get them with the bugzooka and then put them outside.
Are well, so certain ones do meet their end in the bugzooka, and then other ones are compassionately released. But yeah, it depends on the bug type. Like a black fly, I'm sorry, you're dying. A stink bug, I'm sorry, you're dying. A wasp, I'm sorry, I have to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
But spiders, spiders we will compassionately relocate to the outdoors, and other interesting bugs.
Does the bugzooka, I know you can trap them.
Yes.
But then can you hit a button to fire them back out into the wild?
No, you can open the container which they're being stored in.
Oh.
And then if you, when we decide that they're not going to live, we put the container they're being stored in the freezer so that they die quicker.
Mm. I like the idea. I have a bugzooka people. First of all, you should sponsor our show.
Yeah.
Meg's a big fan.
Huge.
What if you made biodegradable containers? Once it's full, you could fire it out into the wild.
Ooh.
And then it will dissolve. I mean, it's breathable, so the bugs can still live in there, but then it will dissolve and they can go free, but a very good distance from the house.
Yeah, you don't have to like.
Yeah. You fire it like a potato gun, like it goes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're used to flying fast.
I like the idea of that. I like the idea of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like bugs because the birds eat the bugs. See, I like birds and birds eat bugs.
Right.
So I like for there to be a rich bug environment near my home because it attracts great birds.
It's like an old country buffet for birds.
Yeah. I'm very into the whole food chain and circle of life by me. Like there's the birds that eat the bugs, and then we've got the big birds that eat the rodents, and like there's the snakes. It's like, we all live in harmony out there up in the woods, and I'm here for it.
When you said big birds, all I imagined was a bunch of big birds like from Sesame Street.
Yeah,
walking
big bird just like, hi, you have any bugs?
Big bird just like tearing apart a chipmunk.
Yeah.
I hunger for blood.
And then roller skating away.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the monolith inside?
I thought you'd never ask.
And that, and the fact that it says public property is not for public use.
Yes.
Ain't that the damn truth?
What the heck? I am excited about the dog park just in general. I think it's because it's been talked about since episode one and like no one's really gotten a good look in there. So of course everybody's going to be curious, right?
Right. Well, there's no way in.
Right.
But now all of a sudden.
And the gates, which weren't there before. And then when they close again, it like seals off again, just like it wasn't even there. I love magic shit like that.
That scares me. The thought of being trapped somewhere, like that's one of my fears, is like being like sealed in, trapped somewhere.
Huh.
Are you claustrophobic as well? Do you not like small spaces?
I can be a little bit claustrophobic. It really just depends on what's going on with me. But like being like trapped somewhere forever, like, and like missing the opportunity to get free.
Yeah.
Like if I could have just walked out those doors while they were still open, like that, I guess it's that like rest in there and the like missed opportunity of like being able to free yourself before the consequence of being trapped somewhere forever.
Right.
I think about, that makes me think of, do you know like the story of Aida, like how she gets trapped, she ends up getting trapped in a tomb in like Egypt or whatever, because like the prince is in love with her and like not this other person. And fucking, I just think about that being closed into a tomb, like, so you're just supposed to like suffocate to death inside this thing. Like, that's screwed up. And I understand that fear. It's very real. And I would hate that too. But like, I don't know. The dog park isn't like necessarily saying they're dead, but like they, because he doesn't say to the parents of Dana. You know what I mean? Like that, I found that interesting.
Right.
He just says goodbye, Dana, and I was like, why is that different?
Because it's there's no way to confirm
whether
he doesn't know what happened.
Right.
Because nobody knows. Because knowledge is forbidden in Night Vale.
And Schrodinger's Dana at that point.
Yeah. The obelisk made me think of 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
Also,
the monkeys like hitting it.
Yeah, and throwing their bones up in the air.
That's right. Chicken bones from chicken the carcasses. Bones.
Use the whole chicken.
Use the whole chicken.
Use the bones to throw up in the air when an obelisk appears.
I'm glad we could come back to that.
Yeah, of course.
So old woman Josie is obviously in contact with all these angels and whatnot. And they're all named Erica.
Yes.
And I thought that was interesting. And that was the renegade poet E., right, that talked about the dog park that got everybody all, like, interested. And Cecil was like, don't listen, don't listen.
Right.
And then when they did talk about it, that's when the – and then the doors open, like – so who do you think opened the gates? the hooded figures, the city council. Because the city council invited everyone into the dog
Erica
park.
The angel? Is that possible?
Yeah, the angel knew it was up and wrote the poem, and the poem was what was the alchemy required to open the gates.
Yeah.
Wowie. Wow, wow. You guys, I think we've broken through a lot of things today. What do you think? Yeah?
Yes. This feels like we're kicking into high gear.
Yeah.
Along with 19A and B. Like, we're now things are... Like, there's an overall plot moving forward. Not that there weren't plots in the other episodes, but definitely it's all built. They're really doing a great job of weaving everything together, especially Jeffrey bringing these poems that were submitted and then weaving them in, whether it's to create a larger meaning for everybody who is listening, but also, like, really good jokes, like to have the traffic report be this really deep poem, be like, all right, so take alternate routes. Like, it's really well woven in. Mm-hmm. As we kind of move into a higher gear overall.
Up next, we hear from fans and friends of the podcast about their theories, comments, and questions. But first, a conversation about this episode's weather, which is Get Me Home by Robin Aigner.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
So, yeah, we're talking about Get Me Home by Robin Aigner, which when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, this is like a consensual version of Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I did keep noticing how it was like, but I have to be home by one. I have to be home by two, three, four. Same. It's the Baby, It's Cold Outside, but it's like, do you want to kiss a little? Do you want to like hang out? Like, do you want to have a drink? Like, what do you want to do? Instead of being like, I'm blocking the door.
Yeah, I put something in your drink. Maybe it's cold outside.
Yeah. Really great harmonies.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a song by called You and Me by a band called Slow Club, which is they're more twee. This is feels more almost like a country folksy kind of feel to it. But it's the same like idea of harmonies, and it's like the overall feel of the song makes you kind of smile. It's a smiley song.
Yeah.
I like smiley songs.
Yeah.
I like being happy.
Me too.
It's fun to be happy.
I like smiling is my favorite.
It's so much fun. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile.
That's true.
Is that right? Or is it the other way around and you're getting a good workout when you smile? Either way. Oh.
Depending on,
I guess. Just smiling into the microphone.
Yeah.
Just
I think it depends on how hard you smile or frown.
That was a really hard smile.
I can't frown right. When I frown, it looks like this.
Because you open your mouth. Like, it looks like you're doing like a fish, like a one of those fish that.
And I can't make a fish face either.
No, now you're just kissing, and then you're sticking your tongue out of your mouth. This is perfect for the podcast. I feel like I'm describing it well.
When we all get in the same room together, we do things that are very funny for us to look at that you can't see.
I've been juggling this whole time.
Yeah,
I have plenty of juggling balls and clubs.
I see them. I'm gonna juggle as soon as we're done. I swear. We already talked about the time. Backstage that I made you think I didn't know how
that
to juggle,
made me
right?
So mad. I think we talked about it in real life.
Oh, we did talk about it in real
just
life.
Just not with microphones recorded.
Do you want to tell the story?
Tell me a story.
So I was juggling or something backstage, some oranges?
Yeah.
Or
I
something.
Think it was fruit, yeah.
Fruit that I'm made up of.
You picked fruit off of your head.
And I was like, let me just juggle. And then Hal went. Proceeded to pretend like he didn't know how to juggle and was asking me to teach him how to juggle. And I was like, okay, well, if you just start like this. And I went into my whole like teacher spiel. And then he's like, okay, well, let me try. And then starts juggling like a fucking professional. And I was so, I'm like, oh, so you were just like yanking my chain the whole time.
You're just a really good teacher.
Yeah. I wanted for a second for you to feel like I'm the greatest teacher on the planet. It was a prank that was designed to make you feel good. It was a feel-good prank.
Okay, yeah, because those are the only kind of pranks I like. I hate pranks.
I'm the positive prankster. I travel in my van spreading the gospel and pranking people, but for fun.
Pranks that make you feel good.
Yeah.
You're not embarrassed. You're invigorated.
Now you
There's no self-hate. Yeah. It's all self-love.
You have an extra $5 now. Fuck you. I'm the prankster. Be sure to prankster. Like and subscribe. Mm.
It's not dog poop. It's homemade chocolate mousse. Enjoy it. It's vegan and gluten-free because I care about your dietary needs.
Also, here's a hug.
Yeah.
You got pranked.
Yeah. Your grandma's not dead. She's here and she wants to hang out the whole time. We flew her in from Florida.
Oh, what a ride we all go on. But yeah, it's a really fun weather. I really enjoyed listening to it.
I want to say Robin Eigner did the, when we did the first year party at Webster Hall, I want to say that Robin Eigner was the weather. And she played the ukulele. I think, maybe I'm not making this up, or maybe I am. I want to say that, I think she was a friend of Jeffrey's, and she was the weather. She played the ukulele, which I noted the other day that the ukulele is to music as improv comedy is to comedy and theater. So,
what does that mean? Some of us are improvisers.
Some of us are. Some people play ukulele. Some people do.
I'm interested to hear. You consider it a class below?
I don't consider it a class below, but I feel like ukulele people are a lot like improv people. Like with the the ukulele is the improv of the music world. Improv comedy. I'm not trying to offend
you. I like that you're not, but I like that you're not taking a stance on whether you like it or not, but it's implied.
Well,
it's
also, Also, my wonderful mother-in-law, who's probably listening to the show, is a passionate ukulele player, and she's terrific at it, so I'm not trying to offend her, or you, Hal, as an improv comedian.
And she's also at Comedy Sports all the time.
Yeah, she's also...
She plays ukulele at Comedy Sports.
I'm not trying to make fun of anyone.
Listen, we love the ukulele.
Except I am, and it's ukulele players and improvisers. But it's not because I think anything's better or worse than you. I think that you're all great, and I enjoy you.
I definitely think there's nothing worse than you. I want to say that for the record right now. Oh, fantastic. Well, we did it.
We did it, you guys.
Let's go to the fan zone.
Can we go to the fan zone?
In the fan zone.
Fan zone.
What's in the fan zone, Cal zone today?
So in the fan zone today, we have a message from Katie that says, I don't think Night Vale has ever celebrated Halloween. What would that even be in Night Vale? One can only wonder. Wow, wow, wow.
This is her.
Is that verbal version of when the one eye is bigger than the other and they type out, they go underscore little o?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what it was in my brain.
This is our Halloween episode, guys. This one is the one that's going to air before Halloween.
I love Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Halloween everybody. Wee. I like think Halloween is like the ukulele players of holidays.
Halloween is one of my favorite holidays of the year. I love to dress up, as I'm sure you know, by just being my friend for a very long time. I love sparkles. I love spandex. Mm-hmm. And I love dressing up for Halloween because it's fun. You can be creepy or you can be sexy or you can be a Pikachu. You can do whatever you want. You can be anything you want on Halloween. And it's a time that adults are allowed to let loose, and it's not weird for you to wear a cape or vampire teeth or a hockey mask, just like out in public. And I love here in Chicago on the CTA seeing people go to work like on the train and on the bus, and they're just like wearing a clown mask or something. You're just like, wow, Jim, you're gonna mess up your office.
Yeah.
What do you think Halloween? Do you think Halloween would be? It's got to be a thing. In Night Vale.
I hope it's the same.
There's kids and adults. You know.
I hope it's the same because I would. I hope it's better because I wouldn't want the joy that is Halloween to not be something for the citizens of Night Vale.
I would love. I think as Tamika Flynn, I think I would dress up as a librarian.
Yeah.
For Halloween.
Yeah.
What do you think Steve Carlsberg would wear?
He would definitely construct a whole family costume.
Okay.
That everybody, yes. So it would be like everybody has to dress up, like the M&Ms from the commercial, including one for Cecil that Cecil refuses to wear. Yes. Like he gets a box every, like, Halloween's coming. and like the costume's in there, and just Cecil's eyes roll all the way. And they make like a full resolution until they're facing forward again in his head.
Yeah. And he's just like, it just didn't fit, Steve. And you can just tell that he has just a pile of unopened boxes of Halloween costumes just collecting dust in his garage.
Yeah.
What about Deb, the sentient patch of haze?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's definitely hard for Ascentia Patch of Haze to be costumed, but I think she might be able to do something with her coloring. So she might be able to like flash different colors and kind of like, yeah, be like a spooky orange and black kind of vibe. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That would be my hope for Deb as Ascentia Patch of Haze. I mean, if she could dress up, she might choose to be something more corporeal, which I've said on the show before, more corporeal. And every time I say it, I'm like, it's really weird to say it that way.
but she's, I mean, if she's a patch of haze.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to knock a witch hat onto that.
Right. But I think maybe she could fill, you know, those suits that are like, it'll be like, it's a lady or something. And like, it's a big thing now, like men dress up as living dolls. And it's just what? Like, oh, there's
like
a
Shields
whole
and Yarnell, the miming couple from the 70s and early 80s? Where they like pretended to be toys. They were like pop and lock type mimes.
No,
so they
this is
toy.
Like, I think, I don't think it's sexual. I think it's like, I saw a documentary about it, but it's like they wear these like, it's like it'll be like a mask, but it's like rubber, you know? Basically like if you put like a doll, like a rubber doll, over your own body and like a wig and stuff so that they look, I'm gonna find this.
Oh, right. Is this like that Duracell family, like the commercials? Remember those?
Yes. Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Those are real creepy.
Well,
I'm very frightened by this.
I'm just imagining that Deb would like pour her haze into like one of these.
Oh yeah, into a suit?
Yeah. You know, so then you would look like a human person.
You could like fill something. I could be like, Deb could be like the wacky wavy inflatable arm man.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I also like the idea of her floating around just with a Zorro mask on, like a Zorro mask over a patch of haze.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm the Hamburglar.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is from Freya. F-R-E-Y-A is how you've written your name to me. They're writing to us. Salutations, podcast friends or acquaintances of varying levels of intimacy. An inquiry about the librarians of Night Vale. If I may, are librarians considered municipal employees? Cecil tends to speak about them more in terms of an infestation than a workforce. While clearly malevolent, they appear to be considered a necessary evil. Why aren't more proactive measures taken? Are they members of the American Library Association? Are they perhaps unionized? If so, Glowcloud, all hail, forbid, how would Tamika Flynn respond to accusations of being a union buster? Thank you for your time,
whoa,
which is not yours and further does not actually exist. Cordially, but not so overly familiar as to be off-putting, Freya. So lots of questions about the librarians, about whether they are, in fact, municipal employees and union members.
I'm going to say no. I don't think that they are. I think that they just kind of do whatever they want to do. I feel like they're more, like, in my mind, I always think of them as, like, these aliens that are trapped, like, alien-style. I'm imagining, like, the alien, like, Sigourney Weaver-style alien.
Xenomorph.
Is that what they're called?
Yes.
Okay. Inside a building, and they're trapped in there, but they also happen to poems and stuff. Like, I don't think that they're like, we have a union.
No. Yeah. You don't think they're doing, I don't think that they might are doing actual work even. I think that like, you know, I mean, are they reshelving the Helen Hunt biographies? Is that what they're up to? Like,
that's a very thick section. There's a lot of Helen Hunt biographies out there.
Yeah. My opinion is that I think that maybe they are members of the American Library Association, but they're shunned because they're too dangerous to come to the convention.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're too dangerous to go to ALA every year.
Yeah.
I imagine that they are creatures who were captured by the city council and the sheriff's secret police and then turned into librarians. I always picture them like dementors,
yeah,
which is odd because you would probably think the hooded figures are more filling that just sort of odd spindly creatures, but it's almost like if you took a monster and put a milkman hat on it, you're like, this is the milkman. Yes. He delivers your milk and it's like
exactly,
yeah,
that.
Like, it's not really what it claims to be at all. But part of that is like, well, we have to get them signed up for the ALA and we'll send them to some convention so it seems legit. So they've been turned into librarians, but they're not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's all just an attempt to try to keep them above, to make this whole shenanigans be above board.
Yes.
It's a charade, goddammit.
Yeah.
As are many things in Night Vale.
And many things in our government.
Yes.
Woof.
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 Brrr.
Cora writes, "Hey guys and gals, hello. My name is Cora, and I have been a fan of Night Vale for over 2 years now." Well, thank you. "In a somewhat recent episode, you mentioned sharing Halloween costumes, so here's mine." Ooh, very exciting. "I plan for Halloween in April, so I'm really into it." That is, wow.
6 months.
You are way into it.
That's some Abby Wolf style stuff.
Yeah, geez.
Love it.
"I'm being Mother Earth, and I'm using one of the foam bowl things. If you've seen the girl trying to sneak food into the movies by being pregnant, it's that thing." Okay. I always think of it as the thing Perry Farrell uses to steal groceries in the Been Caught Stealing video. I'm sure we all thought of that reference immediately. "Anyway, I'm going to paint it like the globe, so literal Mother Earth. I'm putting a Night Vale spin on it, though, and the world will be attacked by aliens and monsters from the deep. Hope you enjoyed my ramble. Keep making awesome stuff. Cora."
Thanks, well, Cora.
Yeah, Cora, that's great. Very creative. Love the homemade. I have a lot of respect for people who homemade costumes and think outside the box. I do not have that skill at all.
I'm
not a costume person.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what the dress form's for.
And my sewing machines.
And your sewing machine. Yeah, you're a crafter and a costumer. You and Cora could probably exchange tips.
Yeah. So you said you're not you don't make your own costumes.
Correct.
But what do you buy? Do you and Jennifer do a thing?
We did a couple of years. We tried to have a party called the Scary Booger Party when we were first dating, and then we moved to successively smaller apartments and stopped doing that.
Yeah,
but also we don't dress up.
Okay,
I don't really.
Do you guys have any kids that come by or anything?
No, we're in an apartment complex.
Oh, okay.
I've always lived in apartments in LA, but we have friends. Our friends Craig and Roger will go to their house because they're the house in their neighborhood that gives out full-size candy bars.
Oh.
And Jennifer will hold the bucket and watch at the door and go, they're coming. And then she'll go out to see. Like, she's so excited to out candies to trick-or-treaters. It's amazing.
I love giving candy to trick-or-treaters. Yeah. It makes me so happy because usually they have, like, cute costumes on and, like, you're really happy for them because they're just because they're adorable or, like, creative or whatever.
Right.
Did you ever, when you were a kid, like, did your parents make your costumes ever?
My mom has made many costumes for me. She's made me a witch costume. She made me an M&M costume.
Yeah.
She made me a bag of M&M costumes. My mom, Lyd Bashman, was handy with that sewing machine, and she would churn out some good Halloween costumes and some good play costumes for our plays.
Aww.
Oh, that's awesome.
What about you, Hallie?
My mom made a Hulk Hogan outfit for me one year when I had two casts on.
Oh.
So I was Hulk Hogan. And then when I was in – that was third grade. When I was in fifth grade, I forget what I was, but she came in dressed as Hulk Hogan. And it wasn't like super crafty. It was like Hulkamania on a sweatshirt with marker, but it was still nice. And she did the best that she could.
Aww.
And to me, it was great. Although I did see a kid, second grade, some kid was a ghost. This was right after Ghostbusters had come out. Some kid was a Ghostbuster and his dad had made him a proton pack. Like a work. It made noise and the neutrino wand lit up.
Oh, that's
it was
cool.
So cool. And I was like, that is amazing. But I will never have anything like that because I know that neither of my parents could build it. Not happening.
Bless the Halloween Adventure pop-up store. You know?
Of course. You got to love it. You got to love it.
Yeah.
So I have one from Dakota. Dakota writes, "Hey, guys." Hey.
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 "I'm really enjoying the podcast thus far." Oh, thank you. "With Poetry Week, one of my favorite episodes fast approaching in your lineup, I wanted to ask, what's everyone's favorite poem in the episode? Mine is Street Cleaning Day. Also another one of my more beloved episodes, Dakota." Well, thanks, Dakota. I really like the Trinity Wade one, the one where she turns into snow, like dissolves. That one was crazy for me. What about you guys?
My favorite one is the Catherine Ciel one, the one about the in the diner with the – and then
– Oh.
Yeah, the Moonlight All Night Diner. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite line is "we watch bodies fall to the ground outside like deep sea creatures surfacing. You turn to me and ask, do you ever think about suicide? I look away from you and close my eyes, eat the raspberries to confuse the blood in my mouth."
Mm.
It's just like,
yeah,
damn.
Yeah, right.
That's beautiful.
It's really beautiful. And just, a good economy of words. And every word evokes a new feeling or evokes a mood and a feeling. And thought it was pretty cool, that one.
Yeah. They're all so good. I think my favorite may actually be the Russell Swenson one, just because it's so compact. It's compact and impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And just how dreary and dreadful it is, which is not like the opposite of the music I like. I just like how it's – and it puts a great button on the portion of the show that it's in.
Nice. I have from Leanne. Leanne is the fan who sent us 80 headcanons. And this is Leanne's headcanon about one of the ones about the dog park. The dog park is actually a floor-to-ceiling video feed of an endless desert to keep Night Vale citizens from leaving and spreading the weirdness to neighboring cities. It's interesting. It's an interesting headcanon.
Okay, wait. So, like, the outside of it?
Yeah.
So that people – okay. So then they can't leave. But, like, there's other parts of the town, right, that they can...
Yeah, maybe the dog park is one end of it. Is this like a Truman Show thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Sure.
I assume.
Hey, we love a good headcanon.
Yeah, it's not my headcanon, but I appreciate yours. I think it's interesting. I definitely think that it does align with the fuckery of Night Vale. It's in fuckery alignment.
That's
with
right.
A thing that could exist there.
Is that our next t-shirt, the fuckery of Night Vale?
Fuckery of Night Vale. Align with the fuckery of Night Vale.
Well, thank you everyone so much for joining us this week. And next week, we will be going over episode 21, A Memory of Europe. But until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Hal Lublin, and Meg Bashwinner. It is edited by Grant Stewart. It is mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Special thanks to our fans who submitted their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions or to recommend your favorite scary but not too scary movie. For more information on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Christy Grussman, Jeffrey Craner, Joseph Fink, and Adam Cecil. Today's adverb is scarily. The tiny kitten with the scarily perfect kitten nose and the scarily adorable kitten feet and the scarily fluffy kitten tail murdered them all.
They say you shouldn't meet your heroes. I'm Joseph Fink, and I'd like to introduce you to I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, the show where I meet my hero and have conversations about songwriting, art, and life.
This podcast is going to be weird for me because I'm proud of what I do, but I always try to change the subject if people tell me that my stuff is good.
I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats. Find it wherever you listen to podcasts.